welcome. This is God Is In This, the podcast ministry of Bethany First Church, United Church of Christ in Bethany, Connecticut. For more than 270 years, our congregation has gathered in covenant to worship, grow, and serve, grounded in faith and open to the Spirit's movement in our time. As an open and affirming church, we believe every person is created in the image of God and fully welcomed here. Across every race, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, ability, and background. Each episode features a Sunday sermon from our pastor, the Reverend Jonathan Paradis, or from a guest preacher. A message rooted in Scripture, shaped by justice and alive to the questions of today. Whether you're walking the dog, commuting to work, folding laundry, or simply pausing for a breath, we're grateful you've chosen to spend this time with us. Here at Bethany First Church, we believe God shows up, not only in the sanctuary, but in the struggle, in the doubt, in the joy, and in the everyday. So wherever you are, and however you're listening, welcome. This is God Is In This.
Holy One, in the mystery of Scripture, you meet us, not only in visions and promises, but in struggle, silence, and the shadows of night. As we open your word, speak to us. Open our hearts to wrestle honestly, our minds to question faithfully, and our lives to be changed by your presence. Speak through this sacred story, that we might recognize your face, even in the struggle. Amen. This morning, our story opens up on the banks of the Jabbok River, cloaked in darkness with Jacob. He is alone, he's afraid, and he does not know what the morning will bring. This river, Jabbok, is not just a geographical crossing. It is a threshold between Jacob's past and future, between deceit and truth, between fear and transformation. The Old Testament is filled with instances of wordplay, and here the ancient Hebrew word for Jabbok sounds like the word for wrestle, abak, a play on words the text uses to signal that this event will change everything. Before day breaks, Jacob will wrestle a mysterious stranger, be wounded in his hip, and walk away with a new name. But to fully grasp the power of this moment, we must step back and look at Jacob's life. Like many of us, as we sit in this centuries-old church, Jacob didn't arrive at this moment randomly. He's been building towards it his whole life. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, the one we talked about last week. Remember, Abraham too was renamed from Abram to Abraham, from exalted father to father of many. Abraham's story begins with clarity. Go from the country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Abraham goes. A messy story, but he goes, trusting a promise he never fully sees come to life. He dies, still a nomad, living in tents, still a shepherd, having only a burial plot that he bought to his name. And Abraham's family was complex. He fathered 8 sons. Ishmael, he sent away as a boy into the desert with Hagar. Isaac, the promised one, with whom the Bible doesn't mention any contact after the near sacrifice. But do we blame him? And 6 more sons with Keturah. Zimar, Jokshan, Medan, Midan, Ishbak, and Shua. Anyone else looking for ideas on unique names? I am choosing to skip over Isaac's own story, not because it's not important, but because it's one of silence and trauma. It will be our text next year for Father's Day, because I do want to highlight the power of God in redeeming fatherhood. Regardless of how terrible your experience has been, instead, I want to focus on Isaac's twins, Esau and Jacob. This story reiterates the Old Testament pattern. We have been taught that blessings and birthright go to the oldest born son. Much of our society follows this loosely, but the facts of this story do not reiterate this idea. The blessings in this family does not follow the firstborn. Abram, Isaac, and now Jacob are all the second choices, reminding us that God's covenant often runs counter to our cultural customs. And it's okay to do things differently when God is calling us to do so. Jacob's story is different. He's not called like Abraham. He's not summoned in a vision or voices from heaven. Instead, Jacob grabs what he thinks is his, deceiving to get what he wants, regardless of who it hurts or what harm it causes. He runs away when everything comes to light and catches up. Even his name means heel grabber or supplanter, and he lives into that name. With his mother Rebecca's help, he tricks his brother Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of lentil stew, and later disguises himself with goat skins to steal Esau's blessing from Isaac. Imagine how hairy Esau must have been that Isaac could not tell the difference between a goat and a human. When Esau threatens revenge, Jacob flees to Haran. We know this place, right? Shake your head yes, make me feel better. This is from last week, the place where Terah stalled. There he meets his uncle Laban. In a weird family genealogy, it's not a family tree but a wreath. Laban is the son of Bethuel, the grandson of Nahor, who is Abraham's brother. And that makes Laban Abraham's great nephew. Laban's sister is Rebekah, becomes the wife of Isaac, Abram, and Sarah's son. That makes Rebekah both Abraham's great niece and his daughter-in-law. Laban's family thus stands at the intersections of two generations of the covenant line. He is both uncle and future father-in-law to Jacob, Isaac's son. But Laban isn't an obscure and anonymous character. He's an even greater trickster than Jacob. The deceiver becomes the deceived. Jacob works for Laban 7 years to marry Rachel, but is tricked into marrying her sister Leah instead. So then Jacob works another 7 years for Rachel. Jacob's household grows. He gains wives, children, livestock, and wealth. But despite the outward success, there is still no place. The blessing he stole is still unfulfilled. Something is missing, and eventually God tells him, "Return to the land of your ancestors." Like Abraham, Jacob is told to go. But unlike Abraham, Jacob's journey is not forward, but backwards, a return home. And that brings us to the riverbank. Jacob sends his wives, children, and possessions ahead of him. In doing so, he shows us he's still thinking strategically. Still trying to control the outcome. If Esau attacks, then Jacob can escape, saving himself, still looking out for himself. But then he is alone, stripped of everything. And that's when a stranger appears. No name, no explanation, no context, only the struggle. Biblical scholars have long debated who this figure is. An angel, a manifestation of God, a Christophany. Jesus appearing in the Old Testament, or even Jacob wrestling with himself. The ambiguity is intentional. The Hebrew text calls him simply a man, until Jacob later says, "I have seen God face to face." The wrestling is both physical and spiritual. It's honest, it's relentless, and it lasts all night. And you know what this is. You have been in this place. Maybe in your past, maybe last year, maybe even last night. fighting and wrestling with God about things in your life. This story is very real to me. 14 years ago today, I sat in a hospital in New York City with a broken leg for 4 days fighting with God, because all I wanted to do with my life was play rugby and die an old man playing rugby. I was furious with God and this new, very serious injury. I was dreading the rehab and the recovery. I would be missing out on playing rugby. I would miss out on opportunities because my plan was to go overseas and play rugby and figure out life. But God was calling. Alone in that hospital room, God was with me, reminding me of the call from my childhood, reminding me of my hurt and pain caused by the church, not by God. The call was not going anywhere, so now I had a choice. I couldn't run anymore. The next month, I would end up at Bible college in a wheelchair, following the call. Jacob can't trick or scheme his way out. Eventually, the man touches Jacob's hip, dislocating it. Yet Jacob refuses to let go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then comes the critical question. What is your name? This is more than small talk. In Scripture, names represent identity. Years earlier, when his father asked him the same question, Jacob lied. I am Esau. Now, in the dark, alone, wounded, he answers truthfully, Jacob. And in response, he is renamed Israel, one who wrestles with God. And this is the turning point. Jacob's transformation is not achieved by fleeing or deceiving, but by wrestling, by confessing, by telling the truth, and holding on in the night. This site is called Peniel, meaning face of God. It echoes another earlier moment in Jacob's life, 20 years before, when Jacob, on the run, laid his head on a stone and dreamed of a ladder to heaven. That place was called Bethel, house of God, and said, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. At Bethel, God came in a dream. At Peniel, God comes in a struggle. At Bethel, Jacob runs from his past. At Peniel, he returns to it. At Bethel, God gives him a promise. At Peniel, God gives him a new identity. This is not just Jacob's story. It is a spiritual journey of anyone who moves from knowing about God to truly encountering God. And here is where the story touches our own. The history of our church, like Jacob's story, is not pristine. It's full of wrestling and renewal. We've had 2 pastors deposed, fired, members excommunicated, Supreme Court cases. We've faced financial ruin, closed our doors on more than one occasion, and questioned our future. We've also had surplus, built new buildings, had new additions put on, even got electricity paid for by the fundraising done by the Women's Society. You know the recent history. And yet, by God's grace, we're still here. Since winter preaching began in Bethany in 1755, for 270 years, we've crossed rivers of conflict, doubt, and hope. And through it all, we've clung to faith. And what saved us? Inclusivity, family orientation, a broad embracing of community, and the presence of God, even in the struggle. Like Jacob, we have wrestled, and we are still being named, renamed, and called. So I ask you, what is your Peniel moment? Where have you encountered God? Not in peaceful dreams, but in hard-won struggles. What name have you hidden behind? And what name might God be ready to give you now? After the service, during fellowship, I invite you to share your story with someone. Be brave enough to speak your truth and listen deeply when others share theirs. Because we believe this. God is not just in our triumphs. God is not just in our clarity. God is also in the dark night. God is in the struggle, and God renames us there. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany First Church. If you're nearby, we'd love to welcome you in person. Worship is every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. right here at 511 Amity Road in Bethany, Connecticut. To learn more about our ministries, upcoming events, or ways to support our mission, visit bethanyfirstchurch.org or follow us on social media at Bethany First Church. We're so glad you joined us, and we hope something in this message stays with you. Until next time, may you walk with courage, live with compassion, and always remember, God is in this.